This episode is brought to you by the International Parking and Mobility Institute, the world's largest association of professionals in parking, transportation, and mobility. Learn more at parking-mobility.org.
Hello and welcome to the Parking Podcast, the podcast where we talk about the $100 billion parking industry and the people that make it go. I'm your host, Isaiah Mao, and this is the Parking Podcast.
Views and opinions are my own. Welcome back to another episode of the Parking Podcast. With us today is Maxwell Mickey, Vice President of Sales and Account Management at Spot Angels. How are you doing today, Maxwell?
Yeah, I'm great. Yeah, appreciate having me on and excited to chat a little bit of parking this afternoon.
Yeah, I'm so glad we were able to connect. I heard you on the Parker X. You were great. Between the Parking Podcast, Parker X, and I think there's one more, Reinventing Parking. If you can get on that one, you'd be the first person in the world to be on all three parking podcasts.
I like that goal. This is something I can put on the resume. I'll have to admit I'm a little bit of a podcast vet. I used to host a sports talk show back in college, which was a lot of fun.
No way. Tell us about that. Was it local sports or your favorite college teams or what'd you cover?
Yeah. It was a little bit of national sports coverage with some extreme bias towards the local Chicago market. I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago, so very big Bulls and Bears fans. But we spoke a lot about just NBA, NFL, some fantasy stuff. But it was a lot of fun doing that in college.
That's pretty cool, man. I'm talking to a professional podcaster now, so I'm a little intimidated. But
professional in the sense that I got college credit for it.
Oh, that's great, man. All right, so let's talk about that. So you're in Chicago. How did you go from growing up in Chicago to joining the parking industry?
Yeah, well, you know, unlike, you know, most kids when they were shooting around the driveway and they'd go 3-2-1 and, you know, pretend they're playing the NBA, I was actually dreaming of being a parking professional. So I was a plan since I was 7. No, I'm kidding. You know, like most people in the parking industry, I've kind of fallen into it. And, you know, it's this world that you don't even think exists and, you know, how complex and deep it gets once you're there. But again, I grew up just in the suburbs of Chicago. After graduating school, moved down to Charlotte, North Carolina. And if folks don't know much about Charlotte, it's actually the second biggest banking city behind New York in the country. And so I was working for the Vanguard Group, and then I was working for another bank, really doing some corporate finance, as well as I was a licensed stockbroker, and somehow got myself shifted over to parking. But my first kind of foray into the industry was working with Passport. At the time, I wanted to be really on the new business side. I wanted it to be a small company. I wanted to be tech, and Passport kind of fit the bill. So I started bugging them till they brought me in to say hi.
Oh, great company. Yeah, I was actually working as a teller at a bank and they had college reimbursements. So I was working on my master's and I worked part-time as a teller, really didn't make much money. I just did it to get the college reimbursement. And then when I was graduating, they said, we think you should consider a career here. And I had just looking for jobs. And I had an interview in Charlotte, because I guess where the headquarters are for Bank of America. And then through the bank, I met some people at a parking company called Republic Parking, some executives, and they were kind of recruiting me. And so I interviewed for both. And I'd like to say I chose Republic, but I did not get the Charlotte position. So I said, well, let me try this parking position. And the rest, as they say, is history. So that similar stories there, banking into parking.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, it seems that there's a lot of people from some pretty diverse backgrounds just in general. I mean, our founders here at Spot Angels are actually engineers and physicists by trade. So quite different backgrounds we all have.
Wow. Yeah, let's talk about that. Because I read online how they actually got towed. They were looking for parking, parked somewhere, ended up getting towed. And I love on the website, it kind of lists the amount. It says $569. I think when diners open up and they get their first customer and they tape their dollar bill onto their wall. I envision Spot Angels headquarters having this big tow receipt stapled onto their wall. But so they go from, I guess, explain that from the genesis in their words, I guess they get this tow. They realize there's got to be a better solution to help the end customer. And then Spot Angels is born.
Yeah, exactly. So one of our CEO, Hamza, I believe at the time, it might have been a little before that, but was actually studying how to battle cancer. That was kind of his background as a physicist, scientist, engineer. he could be a lot more descriptive than I would, but he was going to school in San Francisco and he was sharing a car with our COO, and they each thought the other person had moved it, and they went out and checked. It was about 2 minutes past when the car had turned into a tow-away zone and the car was gone. And oh, wow. The fine of the car was to get it back was actually worth more than the car was valued at. So it was a really fun mistake that they had. So they said, there's going to be a way that we can see, understand the rules, get reminders so this doesn't happen again.
That's one where I'm actually thankful someone got towed, because had they not been towed, we wouldn't have fine people like them and you in the industry maybe. So congrats for that tow, whoever got them. Yeah, I guess let's talk about this. You just talked, kind of hinted at it, but I guess explain Spot Angels to me as if, you know, I'm a 16-year-old, just got my driver's license. How do you all differ from, you know, say a mobile payment company? What Spot Angels do for me?
Yeah, I mean, for a new driver, you know, old driver, anyone who doesn't understand us, it's a pretty, I think, simple concept. I like to call us really, you know, Google Maps on steroids for parking. What people use us for is to help them really just find and see all the parking rules. So we have, you know, our cities that we work with, picture Google Maps, except all of the curb has been, you know, digitized with free parking, paid parking, on-street, off-street, tow-away zones, rules, reminders. You know, it's dynamic, changes with the hours, and then some integrations to say, hey, you can pay if you like, versus, you know, apps that are just more focused on just the payment piece itself.
That seems pretty daunting to get all that information. So you guys are in Los Angeles and all these other cities. How do you get all that information when someone signs up for your services?
Yeah, it's funny. To me, it seems really daunting as well. Our engineering and mapping teams, they're really talented folks. So for example, earlier this year, we built out the city of Las Vegas, and we're working with Brandley Stanley and her team. They have really, really great data. So they made it really easy for us. But really what we're doing is we're saying, hey, just send over everything you have. So it could be, you know, GIS files, which is more used kind of in the mapping side for cities, or it could be, you know, rate sheets just in Excel. We've used, you know, just PDFs of maps, and we take all that, absorb it, and then put it into, you know, our system that the city can then use really on their back end, not just as a user facing piece so that their parkers can see everything, but actually use on their back end for some other projects, dynamic rates, things like that.
Got to give a shout out to Brandy Stanley, who was on our podcast a few weeks back and actually gave Spot Angels a shout out. One thing I love about the app is the warnings, where I think cities love offering your solutions because they're telling the customers, you know, our game is not to ticket you. You know, it's not a revenue play. That's the last thing we want to do. In fact, we were implementing Spot Angels to prevent you from getting tickets, because it gives these reminders when you're in a tow-away zone or when it's street cleaning. I made that mistake. I was working in a city and staying at an Airbnb for a few weeks, and it just got so confusing, the signs. You know, Mondays, Wednesday, and Fridays, you got to be on the right side, Tuesday and Thursday, left side. And it gets to the point where I guess you tell it where you parked. If it's going into Tuesday and it knows your car hasn't moved, it sends you an alert. Hey, you need to move your car, street cleaning. Does it have features like that?
Yeah, it's actually one of the bigger reasons why so many people use us. In San Francisco in particular, we have probably over 100,000 plus daily active users, and the majority of them probably at least started using us just to get warnings on, you know, tow-away and street cleaning. You know, it can sneak up on anybody. It actually happened to me just a couple months ago, and I'm a parking guy. My wife told me, she's like, are you kidding me? How did you get a parking ticket?
Yeah, I've been there.
And it was just, I was actually parked here in Charlotte, and I was going downtown for a meeting, and the street just changed into a rush hour road, no parking, and came back, saw a nice ticket on the window. I was only gone for 40 minutes, but it was a fun way to wrap up the day. It happens to all of us.
Yeah, and I think no matter how much signage you put up, you know, no matter what you put on your website, people these days are staring at their phones. They use their phones for everything. So having that extra feature, I'm sure, is something every city would love to have. Because again, it's not about the gotcha moment. It's not about those tickets to raise revenues. It's about getting people in compliance, getting those lanes cleared for the rush hour, as you know. So you said it's the Google Maps on steroids, but I've also heard it referred to as the ways of parking. So I know Waze, they have the crowdsourcing. I'm not sure how all that works, because I never contributed to that, but let's talk about that. So you mentioned a minute ago, you know, Vegas, they send you information, you guys collect data, but how does that crowdsourcing piece come into play?
Yeah, it's a pretty cool piece to our platform. Makes us, you know, really unique. Really, nobody is doing that in the parking world. Really, in most industries, there's very few pieces or apps or companies that are doing it really at scale. But our users share a lot of data with us. So it could be anything from, you know, items like after they park, we can ask them a question, say, hey, are there any spots around you? We have a few answers that they can go through. Or for example, usually when we're building out a new city, you know, building out meaning, you know, we're adding that city to our map. We build out kind of a downtown corridor, you know, where the parking is, where people are going to be looking for it. And then the outskirts, we leave really to the users. And so people will, you know, they'll take a picture of a sign and it'll say 2-hour parking. They send that to us, share the information, rules. We can validate it on our end through GPS and the picture and say, yep, that's accurate, and share it. So it's pretty cool to see people contributing and sharing. You know, right now we get over 1 million updates a month across the board of all the different types of things that people are sharing with us. So we're collecting some pretty interesting data that there hasn't really been a way to kind of collect, analyze, and look at that before.
If you would have asked me how many contributions do you think you get in a month, I would have said 100. So that's crazy. So why do people, you know, I'm a nice guy, but I'm not going to go out of my way to report a pothole on a road and wait. So how do you get people to do that? Is it a gamification thing? Is it a discount on parking? I mean, what's kind of the strategy to get people to contribute to crowdsourcing elements like that?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It was actually your question right there was the first one I had when I was first joining, you know, Spot Angels the beginning of this year. And my thought is kind of this, you know, who's doing this? I mean, who's really going to go out of their way to just share a picture of a parking sign in a city or a loading zone? And it's pretty cool to see why they do it, or I think, you know, why we think they do it. And it's really to strengthen the platform. We've gotten, you know, you can of course see in our app in the Google Play Store and Android store, or excuse me, Apple and Android store. And, you know, we have an extremely high rating, you know, 4.7, 4.8. And a lot of the comments are mostly around, thanks, you saved my butt on parking, something like that. You know, you helped me not get a ticket. So they see our platform as, hey, I'm contributing to this because I'm using it. It makes it better for me. And really just that kind of simple mentality. It's very similar to Waze. You know, Waze actually is pretty crazy. There are people who spend upwards of 20 to 30 hours per week on Waze, crowdsourcing information, and they are not compensated for it. I don't think we have any of those type of people on Spot Angels just yet, yeah. But people like sharing information. And we're actually, right now, we are gamifying the app, which is pretty cool. It's live on the iPhone side. And so you actually get points and levels, and you can change your avatar, you know, based on those contributions and what you're doing, which we've already seen kind of an uptick, which has been pretty cool.
That is cool. You know, and it sounds to me, though, it's the gamification's kind of new. It's just that brand loyalty. You saved me from a $500 tow. The least I could do is throw a couple comments and make the app even better. So that's really neat. And then the gamification, you know, I was trying to learn a language a few years ago. Every year I kind of work on a new hobby and got that Duolingo app. I had this streak thing. I'm on this level and I get like this fire every day I do it, and I just can't stop. So I've been doing it for like 3 years. I still don't know Spanish, but I still can't stop because that gamification element to it. But
yeah, that's actually how Google Guides got me hooked. So you're actually not only speaking with a quasi semi-professional podcaster, but a level 6 Google Guide over here.
Oh, wow. That's so very impressive.
Yeah, some pretty big stars I have on my fridge.
Oh, that's awesome. So I saw on Twitter how you are releasing a feature where you could say, hey Siri, where's my car? And it's going to respond with the destination. And I think that's pretty cool. You know, we've all seen the Seinfeld episode, Getting Lost. I've been lost in downtown trying to find my car, doing a parking study in Florida one time. So I guess, tell us about that. That's a pretty cool feature.
Yeah, we're always looking for kind of new ways to make the system better and different integrations, and, you know, what can we pull in to make it valuable to the parker? I mean, really at the end of the day, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get all the information out. We're trying to make it easy to use, you know, of course, set up integrations like that, or even, you know, simple ones like, you know, people can actually be searching for a specific spot. You know, I want to go to whatever it is, you know, the Museum of Ice Cream in San Francisco. They can punch that into our map and see all the parking around it and then hit, yep, I want to go here and navigate right to it and link out to, you know, whatever navigation app that they use.
Wow.
It's, you know, it's really our mantra is just, you know, how can we, you know, legitimately make parking easier for people?
And is there really a Museum of Ice Cream in San Francisco?
There is. I actually don't know what it is. Our headquarters is in San Francisco, and our team always likes to use that example when they punch it into our map. So I actually have no idea what the Museum of Ice Cream in San Francisco is, if it's actually a museum or just a restaurant, but you can find it in our map.
That's awesome. I travel so much for work, and one thing I try to always do when I'm on longer trips is visit the local museum or, you know, a famous house or, you know, something about this the city. So I visited some pretty crazy museums over my time, but I'll have to check that one out the next time I'm in San Francisco while using the Spot Angels app. So Alessa, you just talked about San Francisco. So is this, you think of this being a great app for cities like San Francisco or Las Vegas, but what I'm finding is that more and more small towns and cities are using this. So what would you say, I guess, to someone that runs a small to mid-sized parking program interested in Spot Angels? Is this something for them as well?
You know, I think so. The bucket that I would say that we're helpful for, or you could fall into, or is just around, you know, hey, do we need help getting our information out? Do people struggle with, you know, where to park, or there isn't a ton of availability? I mean, you can have a very small downtown that's, you know, 5 by 7 blocks or even smaller. They can still have parking problems. It doesn't really matter if it's, you know, miles and miles and miles, or just a few, you know, a few spaces. You know, we recently even partnered with San Leandro, California. They have about 90,000 people. So a very different city than New York or San Francisco. But at the end of the day, it's just, hey, can we get our information out? And is this a good avenue to help us do that? So if that, you know, parking director or manager of a, you know, small, medium, big city, if they have no parking problems and they've never got a complaint that people can't find parking or it's too expensive or they don't know where to go, then we can't be valuable to you. But I doubt there's that many of those out there.
Yeah, it seems like if they have paid parking in one form or the other, or they have parking issues or parking signage, then Spot Angels would be a good fit. So,
yeah, it's usually a not an actual lack of parking, but a lack of knowledge of the parking is typically the bigger issue. You know, even in a smaller, medium-sized city, you know, usually if you drive an extra couple blocks in a certain direction, you'll probably find a bunch of free street parking. But for the user, it's really hard to know and understand that because it's not really posted anywhere, or at least anywhere that they could kind of easily see or navigate through, unless it's going to be, you know, a more old school PDF map, which is not the easiest to look at on a smartphone while you're also, you know, navigating and reading street signs and probably listening to music and 5 other things you shouldn't be doing when driving.
Yeah, that's me, unfortunately. So well said. So I saw recently where one of the owners actually spoke with the San Francisco City Council and said 53% of people that use the app that were surveyed said that they would love the ability to pay by the app. Of course, San Francisco is in contract with another vendor, but is that something that Spot Angels is looking at in the future to allow for mobile payments through the app?
It is. It's actually something, you know, we're doing now. We're doing it off street in a few locations. We actually have a national partnership with Spot Hero, and anywhere, you know, on our maps, you'll see some of our garage icons, which are the darker, you know, P's with a little roof over it. They'll have little lightning bolts on it that signifies that there's, you know, some way to pay. And if, you know, if Spot Hero offers, you know, something for that location, they can actually pay through the app. And we're doing it for another operator in the city of Chicago as well. And we actually have a few cities that will be, you know, coming online shortly. We're very firm and big believers in open payment. It's something that's much more common in Europe. And in the last, you know, few months, it's really been gravitating towards the US. I think it's going to be a big part of 2020 of cities, you know, opening up and saying, you know, it's, you know, whomever you'd want to use to, you know, pay that meter on the mobile payment side, that's fine with us, because what it does is it really drives innovation and doesn't let anyone kind of have a monopoly on the city. And for the users, it's more of, okay, what's the app you like the most? And you can go ahead and use that one.
Yeah, I love that. And I think you're right. I see the pendulum swinging in the favor towards the open payment platform. I think also you'll have major players such as Apple and Google, you know, allowing you to pay with your phone without an app. I think we're definitely moving in that direction. I like that concept. May the best person win. I always like compare it to the analogy. I've said this on the podcast before, but it's kind of like going to a restaurant and they say, we only take MasterCard. We don't take Visa. We don't take American Express. We just take MasterCard. That's weird. I think we're doing that in cities across America. And the problem is, you know, you have a city employee or whomever doesn't want to pull 7 different reports for revenue. You know, if they get a call that the app's not working, they don't want to have to research 7 different apps and put in 7 different ticket requests, you know. So I think we're missing is that, I hate to say it because everyone's saying this, but the Amazon for the parking industry, but that vendor that can compile all of it into one report, into one service portal. We've talked to companies that do that on the podcast before, but I think you're exactly right there.
Yeah, it's really interesting you say that. So in the Netherlands, they have it's called the Parking Right Database. And it's kind of as you described, it's this overarching kind of, you know, countrywide backend. And if you meet the criteria, then you can tap into that backend. And it's really the central kind of source of truth and allows the city to kind of open up to multiple vendors without the kind of operational overhead, you know, that can accompany it.
Exactly right. I think we're waiting for that version to win here in America. So I read on the website, it says the app is free and always will be. So it says, you know, you make your money through licensing your parking maps to different car companies. So how does that work? You create this master database through cities across America and you sell that to different car companies. So they have that information on their dashboards. Is that kind of the gist of it?
Not quite yet. So right now we work with a couple different technology providers, but one of them being on the ride sharing side of things. And so a lot of what they're looking for is information like what are the best pickup and drop off spots to kind of safely and efficiently get in and out and not get tickets and essentially not be a pain in the rear end for cities. So that's kind of how we're working with some of those folks on the kind of ride sharing or car companies versus the in-app dash for consumers. It's just a little bit different of how we interact with them.
No, that's great. We've had a company on our podcast before that talked about digitizing the curb. So that's really cool what you can offer to a rideshare company. So they know where their cars are picking and dropping off people, but they don't know if where they are is a legal or illegal space or kind of the dynamics behind that. So you guys can, by having that electronically and having that information, can pass that on to the rideshare company. So that's pretty cool.
And on the flip side, when we're partnering directly with the city, we can give them the tools on the back end to be marking those things. So they can actually mark their own curb and manage it and say, this is, you know, no rideshare pickups, or this is where we want them to go, or this part of the curb can be, you know, marked off for bike lanes or, you know, whatever the case is. So it's kind of twofold of letting technology providers see where the best places to go, and then giving, you know, a city an avenue to help manage those things. Because that's, of course, the hot topic and trend as of late is the curb management side. And I don't envy the city's positions right now with, I think, about 10,000 different vendors trying to get a piece of their curb.
And Brandy talked about that too. In fact, talked about your service where was trying to retrain the rideshare drivers to pick up and drop in certain areas and the challenge that's involved. But no, I've never heard of curb management. What's curb management? No, I'm kidding. All right. So how can parking professionals learn more about Spot Angels?
Yeah, you can always just reach out to me directly. Just as simple as just Maxwell at Spot Angels, or, you know, you can always go founders@spotangels.com and you'll get a hold of us. And little known fact, you have to hunt a little bit for it, but you can actually find our CEO's number on the website under support. So he still likes to take calls from people if they need help. So you can bug him there as well.
I'm going to put the phone number in the episode notes, and I want every listener to text the owner and founder about how great Maxwell was on the podcast.
Yeah, there you go. I like it.
Oh, I love it. All right, Maxwell, thank you so much. Well, NBA is right around the corner. So how are the Bulls looking this year?
Honestly, we should be much more interesting and entertaining to watch. So they had a nice draft pick of Coby White. He's actually a North Carolina guy. So there's a little connection for me. But they'll be a fun team to watch. They'll probably be an average team at the end of the year. But it'll be better than last year. And actually, a fun fact about the NBA and Charlotte. So for those who don't know, Michael Jordan is a North Carolina guy. Of course, won all his championships with the Bulls. You know, when I was growing up and watching him, made me love basketball. And he is the owner of the Charlotte Hornets down here now. And so I moved to Charlotte, my wife and I, this is probably about 7 years ago. Our very first night out in Charlotte, we went to, there's a place, and Charlotte has no downtown. We only have an uptown. So when I say uptown, think about it like a city downtown. But we went uptown and we were at a place called the Epicenter, a lot of bars and restaurants. And I had a Bulls hat on. And someone told me like, oh, hey, did you say hi to Michael Jordan? And I thought they were mocking me. And just like, oh, yeah, I'm a Bulls fan. And they said, no, he's at the bar next door. And so I walked to the bar next door. He's just hanging out, having a drink. He's kind of got his posse around him. I just walked up, shook his hand, said, hey, thanks for everything you did for the city of Chicago. You're why I love basketball, and have a good night. And then just left him alone. But that was my very first night out in Charlotte. We had just moved here and ran into one of the, I don't know, my greatest sports hero ever.
Yeah, that's a great story.
Yeah,
I also met him. This is really weird. So I have a similar story. So I used
trying to one up my Michael Jordan story. I like it.
I love the comedian who talks about the guy who first man who went to the moon.
And mm-hmm.
Anytime he's at a party or a bar, and they talk about they all want to one up each other, that guy always wins. Like, yeah, well, I've been. So I used to do the parking for City of Springfield, and Springfield is where the basketball was created, and they have the Basketball Hall of Fame there. And I used to do the Hall of Fame parking, and then I used to be an usher.
Man, Dr. James Naismith.
Yeah. I was an usher for the year Jordan was enshrined. So I didn't walk him down, but I walked Tim Duncan. I can't remember Malik Rose. I saw David Robinson, John Stockton. Got pictures with Dennis Rodman. I got to see Michael Jordan. Didn't go up to him. He had a crowd around him, but got to be right next to him and got to hear his speech. And it was a pretty magical night. And then the other tie to the Bulls I have is I used to play high school basketball. I hate to relive and bring up my old dreams here, but we went to the state tournament, and the Final Four, we played a team called Memphis Mitchell here in Tennessee, and they had a stud named Thaddeus Young, who's now on the Bulls.
Yeah, the Bulls just signed him this year.
Yeah, I had to guard him, and there's a picture in the paper. I'm shooting, and he's just swatting it out of bounds. I think I still have it, but we did end up winning. You know, he had a lot of points, of course, but I had more rebounds than him. That's all I did. But we beat him and went on to win the state championship. So I've one-upped you. You can't beat that. That's in the podcast.
No, I cannot say that I beat Thaddeus Young. You got me there.
All right, man. Well, Maxwell, what a great episode. Thank you so much for your time, and have a great week, man.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Take it easy.
To our listeners, thank you so much for listening to another episode of The Parking Podcast. Please leave us a review and tell a friend about our show. It would mean a lot. This has been a production of Synchronicity Media, produced by me, Isaiah Mao. Our music and score is by Zona. Our show art and design is by the talented Allison Gilley. You can follow us on social media at The Parking Podcast, or you can find our website with bonus content at parkingcast.com. Thanks for listening. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
I saw on Twitter how you are releasing a feature where you could say, hey Siri, where's my car?
Yes.
And, oh, give me a break. My phone just said, hey Siri.
Nah, that's good.
That's great for the outtake.
This episode is brought to you by the International Parking and Mobility Institute, publishers of the industry's only soup-to-nuts textbook about all things parking. It's called A Guide to Parking, and several of our guests from previous episodes have contributed to this wonderful little textbook. Learn more and order your own copy at parking-mobility.org/textbook.